This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. So glad you're here joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning. My name is Jason Laidler. And as usual, I'm happy to say I'm once again joined by the world-famous Ted Walshen. Good morning, Ted Walshen.
Good day, sir. And how was your week?
Oh, it was a good week. Thanks. Busy, of course. Partly because we've been, in addition to the regular workload, we've been processing those Mother's Day entries that we were talking about.
Yeah, we'll tell you more about that in just a minute.
Yes.
Also, too, it's outdoor work. Have you started doing stuff outside? Oh, you're a little further up north, so you might still be covered in snow, I guess, in some.
Well, we're not exactly covered in snow, but the short answer is no. I haven't really started doing yard work.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's going to happen. Had a bonfire, burned a bunch of junk in a bonfire pit.
Yeah, so did I.
Did you?
Yeah.
You can do that in the city?
I'm pretty sure you can.
I'm pretty sure you can't. But anyway.
It's not really a bonfire. It's just a little.
Oh, the little chiminea thing that you get at the hardware store?
It's fine.
So you burn a few little twigs
and
roast.
That's what it is.
Roast a hot dog?
Just getting rid of some old wood. That's all it is. That's,
okay.
You know, we're not. Nobody's burning clothing or anything in there.
Well, or mattresses and tires?
No, yeah, tires. Remember that big tire fire?
Oh, yeah.
Where was that in Ontario? 15 years ago, whatever it was.
I do remember that.
And it burned for weeks and weeks
Did
and
it
weeks.
Really?
Yeah, it was brutal.
And I remember the propane explosion, I think, that was Scarborough.
Yeah, that was sad. That took a couple of lives.
It did, including a firefighter, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
That was brutal. So today is National Senior Fraud Awareness Day in the U.S.
Correct.
And it should be in Canada as well.
Well, yeah.
Fraud is an ever-increasing, as the economy gets tighter, as people get squirrely with things like lockdowns, etc., you see the incidences of various crimes going up. Fraud is one of them. And
absolutely.
Seniors, the amount of seniors that exist now, as opposed to 10 years ago, and they're being taken advantage of left, right, and center.
Right. So that's a great segue. As a heads up, we're going to expand on the senior fraud issue because, as you said, today is National Senior Fraud Awareness Day in the U.S. I did look to find out what the offsetting day in Canada is, and I could not find an official day for Canada, but I found World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, which is exactly a month from today. I had to think about that. So today's May 15th, and then the World Elder Abuse, maybe Canada's just adopted to be part of the world event on June 15th, which is marked each year on June 15th, and it's an official United Nations International Day acknowledging the significance of elder abuse as a public health and human rights issue. So we are going to expand on that. That's part of the agenda for today's show. It is the Avoid Probate Show. Thank you for joining us if you're just tuning in. In addition to, Senior Fraud Awareness Day, do you know what else is today is, Ted?
Well, this is something I'd never heard of before. Bring Someone Flowers Day.
Yeah. So did you notice what I've got here in the studio?
I did. I noticed that there's a bouquet of flowers, and I'm thinking.
You're thinking they're for you? I bet you think.
I don't know what. I don't know what to think.
I know. Well, I hate to tell you, Ted, that I didn't bring them for you. I did bring them for our awesome producer, Kelly. So do me a favor and say something interesting to the listeners for 1 second while I run this over to Kelly in the booth.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Take your headphones off first. And don't trip on the cords.
Right.
Okay. Be careful with that. It's not a far walk, but might want to pack a lunch. There he goes. He's going right behind me. That's where Kelly's located, in the control room. You could probably hear a little bit of noise in the background. She wasn't expecting it. I was pretty sure that the flowers weren't for me, and I was kind of hoping they were for Kelly.
I'm running back to the microphone.
Because you don't want to be bringing flowers and putting them on the table and have people see them and they're not going to be given to anybody. Because that's just not nice. That was nice of
you. I'm out of breath.
That was very nice of
you. I did that as quick as I could. Kelly said it was going to make her cry, which was nice. I mean, that came out wrong, but you know what I mean.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, well, thank you. It is. Bring flowers to someone day, and I thought, well, who better than our amazing producer who takes care of us every week behind the glass?
I'll have to remember that today as I'm traveling around, and I don't know if there's anybody I want to give flowers to, to be honest with you. However,
okay, so that's good. That's my...
But it's interesting, though, that, and I'm not sure who's behind this. Normally, behind a lot of these days, it's, you know, Hallmark cards and... Yeah. FTD might be behind this, but why they would do, like, bring flowers to someone day a week after Mother's Day when you've already brought flowers.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's a good point.
You know?
But maybe, well, that's a good point. I don't know. Maybe they just want to extend the flower sale. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's worth pointing one other thing out here, Ted, before we go to the first break of the day here of the on the Avoid Probate Show on this beautiful Sunday, and that is this show that we are... producing right now that the listeners hopefully are enjoying on May 15th happens to be the 52nd version, the 52nd episode, the 52nd week.
It's the 52nd week. It's 1 year ago today that this program aired on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah.
I wasn't here.
I know. You weren't here. You were looking for a parking spot.
That's right.
But I remember, of course, I was new to this, to the show, of course, and new to this process and radio and all that stuff. It was Baptism by Fire, as I mentioned, and I remember getting that show done, thinking, wow, that's one. You know, there's a lot more, hopefully, to go, and we've done a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've got, you know, years and years and years of radio experience behind you, but I can maybe after this week say that I have one.
You have a year.
I have a year.
You're a veteran.
Does that make me a veteran?
Sure does.
Okay.
Well, why not?
I don't know. Maybe not every show lasts a year, I guess.
No, listen, I've had jobs that didn't last a year.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I've had girlfriends that didn't last a year.
Well, that's understandable.
Okay, so having said that, on that note, we are going to talk about some probate stuff today, as usual, because that's what we do every week here on Sunday morning from 8 till 9 on AM 740. So I'm going to catch my breath still, and we'll let you go for a quick break and top up your tea and coffee, and we'll be right back.
I'm going to go get some water for Kelly's flowers because I didn't bring her anything.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Well, let's head down to our favorite store for men's clothing. That would be Tom's Place, 190 Boulder in the heart of Kensington Market. Hello, Tom Halleck. How are you, sir?
Ted, when I hear your voice, how can I be? Fabulous, fantastic. It brings so much great memories back. You and I have worked together for so long and for so many years, and my business became successful under your watch. How can I be? I feel fantastic. Soon as Ted Wallachin tells his friends and his loyal radio listeners that Tom has a sale, which we always do. Customers do come in. And this time of the year when the weather is getting warmer, you do need to change your wardrobe. There's no better place and time.
I pulled out a couple of my summer shirts the other day and put them on because it was really, really hot the other day. And I thought, oh, this feels so good. And I know you've got a great selection of summer clothing, whether it be light pants, slacks, you know, nice shirts, sports jackets for that matter, suits, of course. The wedding season is upon us. Virtually everything you need is there. Great sizes, great colors, great tailors, by the way, who've done a lot of terrific work for me personally. And you can't beat the prices. So why not go to Tom's Place? Period. 190 Baldwin in the heart of Kensington Market. Well, Jason, it is time for us to award a beautiful bouquet of flowers on this Mother's Day 1 week later.
To a lucky listener who submitted.
We decided to extend it 1 week because we thought that many mothers will be receiving flowers on Mother's Day. Wouldn't it be nice to get a fresh batch a week later?
Exactly.
So that's what we're doing. So we got this great email. It came in from Francesca, and it says, "Happy Mother's Day to my dear mother, Patricia Ann, whom we lost too early in 1991. And so she's remembering her mother.
I know.
She's not writing in asking for flowers for her mother. And so we've decided that we're going to send Francesca the flowers for such a nice, touching Mother's Day greeting to her late mother.
It was interesting. I was confused at first. I thought, what is this email all about? And then I realized, oh, it was an entry, one of the many entries we received for the bouquet.
So, Francesca, to you, happy Mother's Day, and thank you for your kind words about the show as well.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back and good morning to you. This is the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Wallachin and Jason Laidler. And a reminder, the information we provide for you in this program is for general consumption only, not intended to provide particular legal nor investment advice. Of course, every situation is different, and if you have a legal or investment question, you should speak with a licensed expert. And, of course, we have one of those. We have many of those, actually. We have legal experts on hand and, of course, our investment expert. I'm sitting right across from Jason Laidler. You can contact him. Email is info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca or toll free at 1-844-667-7628. Now, I've been forewarned by Jason's mother to explain to you that although I say you can call at any time, they won't be answering the phone all the time. Jason's mom answers the phone, but she's not going to be answering the phone on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, which is when some people like to call. Just so you know.
Actually, you might not know this, Ted. The record, I've been keeping track of the record time for the first call. Once the show starts to air on Sunday morning at 8:05, right? Mm-hmm. We have news, of course, before we get to do our thing here on the Avoid Probate Show. And it astounds me, but the record time, the record short time, the shortest time for a phone call on Sunday morning is 8:14. 8:14.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
That was me when we broke for a commercial break.
Okay.
Kelly's waving at me here in the other room. What's up, Kelly?
I just want to say thank you so much for these beautiful flowers. They're gorgeous.
Oh, good.
And their daisies, my favorite.
No way.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah. One of my favorites. I love them.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
They're beautiful.
Well, enjoy. Enjoy. Bring flowers to someone day.
I wish I could say that I was in on that, but I wasn't. But one day I'll buy you a Maserati.
Thank you. Forget
about the daisies.
Nice.
Thank you. I'll pay it forward.
Okay, good enough.
Thanks, Kelly. So, Ted, let's jump in here. I know I said we're going to talk about senior fraud stuff and mainly that power of attorney stuff. We've got a lot of good information on power of attorney stuff that I want to explore. But first, I just want to jump into this report about the latest census information with regard in particular to seniors and boomers, who are seniors, I guess. I'm not really a big census guy. Are you into census data, Ted?
I'm kind of fascinated by data.
Yeah.
Although sometimes it gets a little bit too too confusing,
too statistical.
It's a little too twisted. Like the logic is, it's like pretzel logic, if you know
pretzel
what I'm saying.
Pretzel logic. Okay. Well, all right. The title of this report is pretty straightforward. It says, census, 85 and over population expected to triple in 25 years. Well, everyone knows about the boomers. We've been hearing about the boomers for, 50 some odd years, basically, right? And certainly for the past 20 years, and how the boomers steered the economy and led to the creation of all these products and services that were introduced specifically for the boomers. That's a thing. So the article starts off by saying the latest census data from 2021 shows Canada's seniors over the age of 85 are among the fastest growing age groups in the country, marking another milestone on the slow march to what experts warn will be a crisis in care for the country's elders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other reason I wanted to share this information is because the age 85 is significant for what we're doing here at avoidprobate.ca. We talk every week about the fact that there is a solution to the probate nightmare. It involves a transfer of investments, among other things, a transfer of investments from the banks over to the insurance company where we recreate a portfolio that everybody's comfortable with.
It's unregistered.
It's not locked in. It's non-registered money because you cannot put a beneficiary on that money if it's at the bank. And you can put a beneficiary on it at the insurance company. The rules are different. I didn't make it up. It's the Banking Act versus the Insurance Act. People say to me, "Well, how come? Why is it? Why is it okay here and not there?" I didn't make the rules. It's a function of being a product of an insurance company. Now I got to make it clear: we're not talking about life insurance. I got to say that again: we are not talking about life insurance. We're talking about creating an investment portfolio at the insurance company. The insurance companies are doing a very, very good job of competing with
the
banks.
Here's a question that somebody asked me recently. They said, okay, so you can't put a beneficiary on an unregistered account, which essentially is a savings account in a bank, correct?
Most of the time, yes.
And how do you make that a registered account?
Well, you can make registered accounts. The definition of the registered account is an account that has limitations and stipulations and rules attached to it. So you can make an RSP contribution if you have the RSP contribution room. You get RSP contribution room by having earned income. A percentage of your earned income mm-hmm. generates RSP contribution room. If you don't use that room this year, that room rolls over. So you can accumulate tens and tens of thousands of dollars of RSP contribution room if you don't take advantage of any of it up until the age of 71, when you can no longer make an RSP. Well, you can do it in a year. You turn 71, you have to convert your RSP to something else. Normally, it goes to a RIF. You cannot make a contribution to a RIF. But the other part of the answer to your question is the TFSA, the tax-free savings account, mm-hmm. is another form of a registered account, and you can make a contribution to that. And that's not related to your earned income in any way. The government, the federal government, just determines on an annual basis what the maximum contribution amount is for the TFSA for that particular year. It's changed. Mm. It's changed a few times. Mainly, it just goes up a little bit each year, but not necessarily. And if the government changes, well, they can do whatever they want. They can change. Right now, in 2022, the contribution max for 2022 is $6,000. So that's it. So if you got $6,000 lying around in a non-registered account and you haven't made a TFSA contribution in 2022, you can move that $6,000 in your TFSA, and that's the answer to the question. You've converted a non-registered investment into a registered investment.
How much can you build your TFSA? How high can you build it? If it's $6,000 this year, $6,000 next year,
okay.
Can I keep accumulating and
yes.
all of a sudden I've got like $500,000 in a TFSA?
Not exactly. You got the right idea because like the RSP contribution room, your TFSA room, it's not use it or lose it. It also rolls over. So in 2022, and you caught me off guard with that question, in 2022, if you have never put a dollar into your TFSA, I think the max is up to $75,000. I think it's $75,500 actually. $75,500 is the max you can put in 2022 if you haven't used any of the room that's been created. I think it's 9 years now that the plan's been available.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I will qualify that at the risk of confusing people. If you've put the money in and you've made a withdrawal, you put in $5,000 last year and this year you took out $5,000, well, next year you get that $5,000 withdrawal room back. So that's going to confuse a whole bunch of people, and I'm sorry about that. But I just wanted to be clear for those people who are students of this stuff.
Okay.
Even because I said you have to have never made a contribution before, and technically that's not true. You could have made contributions, but made withdrawals, but the following calendar year, you get that room back. So that's the other way it works. And if that's confusing, you have questions about it, give us a call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So if I wanted to, for example, suddenly I find myself with $75,000 that I won on a lottery ticket.
Yep, yep.
And I'm thinking, do I put this into an RSP or do I put this into a TFSA? If I put it into an RSP, it could grow mm-hmm. or it could not grow.
Mm-hmm.
But when I cash it in, I will be taxed on it. If I put it into a TFSA and pull that out 2 years later, I won't pay tax on it.
Yeah, essentially you're correct.
But the TFSA grows at what percent?
Well, the growth of the plan is a function of the underlying investments. So it depends on how we invest the money in the TFSA or the RSP. Because you can say to me, I just want nothing but stupid GICs in my TFSA. And so you're going to earn maybe 1%, maybe 1.5%.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you can say to me, well, for the RSP, I want to invest in U.S. equities. And so Apple, Microsoft, Netflix, Amazon, these companies are making money, Facebook. I realize right now the markets are down because of what's happening in Europe. But, you know, typically the U.S. economy makes money and grows. It grows more than it shrinks. And so you could have a 15% return in your RSP if you're investing in the U.S. equities. So it's called asset allocation. And that's something that, you know, I'm trained to advise people on and have been trained for a long time, over 20 years. And that's my part of this avoid probate nightmare solution is I'm, like you said earlier, I'm the investment guy. I'm not the lawyer. But as you mentioned, we've got lawyers, we've got accountants, we've got every expert that we need to cover the gamut, to run the gamut on the estate plan, whether mom or dad are still with us and you want to avoid the probate nightmare, which is not hard to do when they're still with us, or, you know, if they've left, they've passed away, and you need help settling the estate, well, we can do that too. We can't, it's almost impossible to avoid the probate after the fact, but you, a lot of people will still need help to settle the estate because they don't know how to submit a probate application.
Right.
If you've never done it. And believe me, it's not easy. And the government, in 2015, when the province of Ontario revamped the probate process, mm-hmm. they did not make it more user-friendly.
Right.
Okay, they introduced the Estate Information Return Form 9955. It's 7 pages long. It's laborious. And that's not even the court application that needs to be submitted. So there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of court stuff that a lot of people are not familiar with unless you do it on a regular basis. Right? So getting back to the census report for a second, because the age 85 is kind of significant for us when we talk about what the avoid probate solution is, because if you're under the age of 85, the transfer of the investments from the bank to the insurance company costs you nothing. The insurance company pays our professional advisors a commission. You know, we move it from bank X to insurance company Y, and we are independent advisors, so it doesn't really matter to us which insurance company it is, although it does matter. We can talk about that. And we've talked about that before. I think it was just last week when I was complaining about the one insurance company I was trying to do business with. Anyway, the insurance company says, okay, thanks, Jason. We know that you've got options and you could have mm-hmm. gone to a different insurance. You could have moved the money to one of our competitors, but you brought it here. So here's the standard commission that all the insurance companies have to pay to make it a level playing field. So I can't say, well, I can't not act in the best interest of the client because it doesn't matter whether it's insurance company A, B, C, or D. It doesn't affect my compensation. But getting back to the 85 factor, if your birthday was yesterday and you're now 85, we can't do it for free. There's a small upfront charge to do the transfer, but it's a small charge. It's less than the probate fee. The probate fee in Ontario is 1.5% on the value of the total estate based on the date of death, okay?
Value of the total estate or value of the amount of money in the bank?
Well, it's kind of the same. No, it's the total estate. I mean, if you've got money in the bank and a house, you add it together to make up the value of your estate. Unless you've used our services to implement the tools that we have available to avoid the probate, and let's assume you have not done that, then the probate fee of 1.5% is going to be calculated based on the total value of the estate, so the money in the bank, the house, maybe the cottage, and maybe some other stuff. It's a long list of items that can be included. Because remember, it's like a death tax for the province. They don't like the term. Believe you me, they don't like that term, and you're not going to see that in any textbook or you know, publication from the Attorney General's office. They're not going to call it a death tax, but that's what it is. And so it's a revenue stream for the province, so they include as many assets as they can so that you can pay the probate fee on a larger number, a greater number, and pay a greater amount of tax, a greater probate fee. And also remember, that's only part of the picture. I mean, that the probate fee is one thing. You're paying legal fees. As I mentioned, you're probably not doing it yourself. You're hiring somebody, whether it's a lawyer, certified executor, advisor, et cetera, accountant, maybe all of the above. So you're paying probably thousands of dollars in legal fees. And there's other, you know, incidental expenses, and it's going to take you 10 months, and it's going to be stressful, and you're going to be mad, and you got to go to the lawyer's office, and it's time consuming, and there's liability issues, and we're trying to prevent that. We're trying to save people from that probate nightmare, and we can do it quite easily simply by doing that transfer from the bank to the insurance company, recreating a portfolio. Call us if you want some more information on that. Ted will be giving out the contact information again before the show is over.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now, Ted, we probably got to go to a quick break.
Let's do that.
Regroup, and we'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
My name is Marilyn, and I avoided probate.
Our story begins when Marilyn paid a visit to her mom's bank. She noticed something odd.
She had 100% of her money tied up in GICs, making 1%. It wasn't enough to sustain her. She was dipping into her capital big time.
Marilyn wanted to disperse the money for her mom's needs as she ages. She had acquired power of attorney.
No, you can't do anything with her accounts. They're in her name.
And that was that.
I was overwhelmed by everything. I didn't know what to do.
That's when Jason from avoidprobate.ca stepped in.
There was a sense of urgency because Marilyn's mother is no spring chicken. This process takes time, and I didn't know how much time we had.
He walked me through what I should do when I went to the bank, what I should say to them.
Not only that, Jason went with Marilyn to the bank.
They weren't happy that I was sitting across the table from them in the office, and they knew that we were trying to move this money. But I knew that we had a right to do that, and that it was the right thing to do. Persistence paid off, and we got the transfer done in time. So many seniors have these GICs at the bank. They will be probated. They will be frozen. They're paying next to nothing. And they're locked in with maturity dates. It drives me crazy. I don't understand why anybody buys these things. There are much better options out there. And sometimes we can do this transfer at no cost to the account holder.
Should you get in touch with avoidprobate.ca?
Anybody who has non-registered accounts at the bank needs to look into the services we provide at avoidprobate.ca because, by definition, you can't put a beneficiary on a non-registered account at the bank. You can put a beneficiary on a non-registered account at an insurance company. The rules are different.
I felt that the banks thought I was a thief, but Jason made me feel so much better. I know we've done the right thing.
Call us at avoidprobate.ca on the toll-free number, but call us before your mom or dad passes away. That's when we can help you.
Have the conversation with your parents and avoid probate like Marilyn did with avoidprobate.ca. Call 1-844-667-7628.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And here we are back to more of the Avoid Probate Show here on Zoomer Radio. And thank you so much for being with us, not just this day, but all days. And as Jason mentioned at the outset of the program, this is our first anniversary program.
Yeah.
Actually, 1 year ago.
I was going to ask you about that. Is the anniversary today or is the anniversary next week? Because this is still in year one.
This is the 52nd.
Right. So it's not really the anniversary today. This is the end of year one. Isn't that how it works?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's like maybe we should have talked about this before we started.
When was the first show? What was
I don't know.
Date?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have an idea, but I'd be guessing. I can't precisely tell you the first day. But it doesn't matter because the weeks change, the Sundays change or whatever, right?
Okay, well, we're entering into year two. How's that?
I think this is the last show of year one.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
Right.
Okay. So is that our anniversary or is next week the anniversary?
All I know is that if you have any questions, because I have lots right now, but I can't call. You can 1-844-667-7628. Or if you would like to write info@avoidprobate.ca, and we would invite you to join us on our website at avoidprobate.ca, and there's a free probate calculator that you can get to play with and get an idea how much probate might be payable on your estate, which may surprise you.
Yep.
And not necessarily in a good way.
That's right.
But check it out. Go to avoidprobate.ca. And again, info@avoidprobate.ca is where you want to direct your email. And the phone number is 1-844-667-7628. And that is a toll-free number.
You know how many emails we're going to get from our listeners telling us that we're a couple of dolts because we don't know what the anniversary is and we can't figure it out?
As long as you know where to send them.
Okay. Right. Well, now they do. So thanks for that. All right. Well, let's move on. We talked in the beginning about the fact that it's National Senior Fraud Awareness Day in the U.S. and that a month from today, it's a global thing recognized by the United Nations. So I thought, well, let's tie that into the power of attorney, because the power of attorney is the venue most often where the fraud occurs. We've talked about power of attorney. We've talked about the fact that you can request from us a power of attorney kit, which is published by the Attorney General's Office here in Ontario. It's an Ontario kit. Power of attorney is a provincial matter. The rules vary from province to province. I think I'm going to touch on that again in a few minutes. For those who have requested the kit recently, be patient. They're on their way, and I assure you they're on their way. And if anybody listening wants a power of attorney kit that is published by the province, we're happy. You know, email us or call us. Just need an address, and we'll put it in the mail and send it out.
Now, when you, and many people have probably run into this situation, I know when my mom, in the last few days of her life, when my brother and I would go to visit, and she was in poor health, the doctor would say, who has the power of attorney here in case we have to make a decision?
Yeah.
And none of us had signed any papers, hadn't seen a lawyer or anything. And the answer was, all three of us do. So whatever questions she had, and if she needed an answer from us, if my mother was incapable, then the three of us would huddle and we would come to a decision.
Yeah. Well, that happens. I'm just going to start with the definition of a power of attorney, and I'll speak to that point, Ted, that you just shared with us here. A power of attorney, or POA, obviously POA is a lot easier to say than power of attorney, is a written document. And by the way, getting back to the kit, it's a bit of a myth. You don't have to use a lawyer to have a power of attorney drafted. And that's why I'm telling the listeners, there's a free kit out there, and we're happy to send it to you. So you don't need a lawyer for the power of attorney. If it's complicated at all, I got to emphasize this. If it's not straightforward, and what's straightforward these days, I guess it's an arbitrary thing. But if you think it's complicated at all because of a blended family or a strange child or et cetera, then I strongly recommend you do use a lawyer. And, of course, we have lawyers on the team who can do that for you. But a power of attorney is a written document in which a person gives someone else the power to make certain decisions on their behalf if they become unable to make those decisions themselves. Although the person you give the power to is called your attorney, it does not mean they are your lawyer. That's confusing for some people, right? You're my attorney? Okay, it doesn't mean they're your lawyer. Most often your attorney is your spouse, a relative, or a close friend. And there's two main types of power of attorney. There's the power of attorney for property. And I just want to say property doesn't just mean real estate property. Whatever you own is your property, including the money in your checking account, right? That's your property. So property is the broad term of the word property is what they're referring to here, versus the power of attorney for personal care, which is what you were talking about a minute ago with your mom's situation and your siblings. So there are two types. Most of the time, people will do them together. You might as well do them both at the same time. They have different meanings and limits on decision-making authority depending on what's written in the document, where you live, as well as where your property is situated, as the laws governing POAs differ in each province and territory in Canada, as I mentioned. Okay, the person giving the power of attorney is called the grantor, with an O, grantor. And the person to whom the power to manage the affairs is given is called the attorney. Again, that doesn't mean they're your lawyer.
Right.
In all cases, the attorney must make decisions that are in the grantor's best interests. I got to say that again. In all cases, the attorney must make decisions that are in the grantor's best interest. This is called fiduciary duty. So the POA doesn't mean you can just go take 10 grand out of mom's account or grandma's account and go on a trip to Vegas with you and your bestie. Mm-hmm. Everything you do, you have to be able to demonstrate and prove that it was in the best interest of the grantor. And maybe the trip to Vegas, that might be hard to prove.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Maybe. So, what is power of attorney fraud? And again, the fraud part ties into the fact that it's National Senior Fraud Awareness Day. Power of attorney fraud refers to frauds committed with respect to powers of attorney for property when planning for their future. People often use POAs in case there comes a day or a time that they become mentally incapable of making their own financial decisions. Power of attorney fraud occurs when someone is financially taken advantage of by the person they have named as their attorney to manage their finances. This is often a family member, friend, or caregiver. Power of attorney fraud can occur for many reasons, including that the grantor is that's mom or grandma or whoever, is vulnerable, elderly, possibly alone, ill, and reliant on someone else for a great deal of care or any combination of those things, because often it is a combination of those things. The attorney will often isolate the victim, cutting off all their contact from friends and family in order to take advantage. And I've got a story about that. The grantor could be confined to a hospital or nursing home. Unfortunately, power of attorney fraud, often called financial abuse, is one of the most common forms of elder abuse in Canada. Sad, but true. And I was talking to somebody about this just the other day, And I believe the person who I was talking to is a retired police officer. And I pointed out to them that the police departments often are now creating special POA fraud units, or maybe it's better to say elder abuse units within the force. Okay, let's talk about common types of power of attorney fraud. So fraud, there's fraud committed in obtaining the POA, and there's fraud committed using the POA. So fraud, the difference is fraud in obtaining the POA can occur when it is obtained as a result of the exerting of undue influence over the grantor or under suspicious circumstances. And that was the case in the conversation I just had with the retired police officer. It can occur when it's fraudulently obtained. In other words, the fraudster could pose as a financial advisor. I don't like the fact that they're picking on financial advisors, but I guess it's accurate. Or the documents are forged.
Yeah.
Fraud committed using the power of attorney, emptying the grantor's bank account and using the money for the attorney's personal use and not for the grantor's use, i.e. the trip to Vegas that I was just talking about. Theft of grantor's pension checks or possessions. Making unauthorized, questionable, or even speculative investment decisions on behalf of the grantor. You have to be acting in the best interest of the grantor. And if the grantor is not really interested in, buying futures on the silver mine in South America as an investment, then you can't do it either, even though you're the power of attorney. Acting in a manner when handling financial matters on behalf of the grantor, which may contribute to unnecessary expenses or damages from inaction. Inaction, it could be fraud as well. Misappropriation of the grantor's assets, that kind of goes without saying, I would think. Mortgaging or selling a grantor's home or other asset without the grantor's knowledge or consent.
But what if the grantor is not capable of making that decision? Isn't that what the power of attorney is there for?
That's right. But again, you have to be able to demonstrate in some way your actions are in the best interest of the grantor. And if that means selling the house, maybe to pay for care,
yeah,
so be it. Who's going to argue with that? Right? If there's no money left in the bank account's been drained, there's $1.5 million of real estate here in a house in the GTA, okay. Mom or grandma's in nursing care and it's $4,000 a month and we don't have the money, but mom's got it in the equity in the house, okay. Who's going to complain that we're selling the house? It's for mom's benefit, right?
Yeah.
Even if mom can't say yes or no. I mean, the key here is that the attorney, that the POA was issued and set up before mom or dad lost capacity.
Right.
It's okay to lose, it's going to sound bad. It's okay to lose capacity after the fact. That's why you set up the POA, because the expectation is that if one day I lose capacity, so-and-so can help me manage my affairs.
Sure.
So if mom doesn't know what's going on, it doesn't matter if the POA was set up legitimately, right? That's why it was there. Power of attorney fraud is criminal because of the nature of the crimes. Power of attorney fraud can often result in theft, forgery, and fraud charges under the criminal code. Section 331, if anybody's interested, of the criminal code deals with theft by persons holding power of attorney specifically. I'm not going to read the definition of it for you. It is Section 331 of the Canada Criminal Code. This, I think, is really interesting, and this came up, again, in the same conversation I was just talking about with the retired police officer. The role of the public guardian and trustee, this is really important and increasingly so. The Office of the Public Guardian and Trustee has procedures for reporting abuses of power of attorney and remedies available, such as appointing a substitute decision maker. So you got it wrong. You picked the wrong person, the wrong kid, the wrong friend, whatever. You picked the wrong person to be your power of attorney. That's going to happen, of course. You did it with good intentions and you didn't know. And they've acted inappropriately. Well, you're not stuck. You know, it's not like you can revoke it. If you have capacity, you can revoke it at any time. But you can go through the PGT office, the public guardian and trustee's office, and talk to them about appointing a substitute decision maker. So that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I just want the listeners to know that. We could talk about... Okay, let me do this real quick before we take our next break. How to avoid... There's tips on how to avoid the fraud, the power of attorney fraud. There are things you can do to avoid it. You can... naming two people who can act jointly as your attorneys. So I don't like the two people thing because if it's a tie, that could be a problem. So name three people, and then you don't have a tie.
If you can.
If you can, of course. Never joining bank accounts or other assets with the attorney. And you don't need to. And that's why I talk about how I don't like joint accounts at the bank, because you don't need the joint account if you got a power of attorney. If the joint account is set up just for convenience so that your child can help you make the mortgage payment or pay utilities or whatever, you know, when you need help, well, power of attorney does the same thing, but it doesn't expose the money to that child's creditors, angry spouse, etc. I've talked about that many times. Another way to prevent it, having your monthly expenses come out automatically. Again, if you suspect fraud, you can call your financial institution and ask about any questionable activity. Keeping all valuables, financial, and legal documents that the attorney does not have permission to deal with in a safe place, and tell someone else you trust where to find that information, and having regular conversations with your attorney about your financial affairs. So those are some good tips.
Interesting, though, because it's essentially what you're saying is find somebody you trust, appoint them power of attorney, then find someone else you trust,
yep,
where you can put your and give them the information
for the other stuff
as to where all of your important papers are kept.
Yeah.
So that the power of attorney. So it's like find somebody you trust but you don't really trust, and then find somebody else that you trust but you don't really trust.
Well, exactly.
It's like you're finding two people that you trust, but you're only giving them. Nobody has full trust.
So if you get it wrong once,
and I know that sounds very sarcastic, and
no, I don't think it does. Part. I don't think it does at all. I think it sounds logical. You know, if you might get it wrong once, you're probably not going to get it wrong twice. It's just the whole don't put all your eggs in one basket kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I suppose that's what
spreading
it is.
Spreading the risk. And just lastly, just to remind the listeners, power of attorney is only valid while the grantor is alive. Someone said to me, oh, I did my wills and I had my powers of attorney set up in my will. Well, no, you didn't. Nobody sets up a power of attorney in a will because there's no such thing. If you're dead, there's no power of attorney.
Right.
It's only available while you're alive. As soon as you pass away, that's when the will kicks in. So they're two different things, and the death is the trigger point.
And the person who is in charge of watching the will is not the power of attorney.
Well, it could be. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's a different position.
Oh, the executor, you mean? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, good point, yeah. The executor does not have to be the power of attorney. It can be, and maybe it is probably quite often, because if you trust this child, but not always. This child's good at looking after my day-to-day stuff, but this child's going to be better at settling my estate for whatever reason. Yeah, it's whatever you want. It could even be, I've said this before, a corporate trustee, a corporate executor.
Okay.
So, yeah, there are different roles, for sure.
All right. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and wrap up the show. We've got to dip into the mailbag, so stick around and enjoy.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
With Russia's war in Ukraine displacing millions, the cries of grandmothers and mothers leading children out of danger are being heard by Zoomer Radio's Ukrainian humanitarian appeal. Help us help Ukraine by donating to the Canada-Ukraine Foundation. Here's how. Go online to cufoundation.ca, select Donate, then type in Zoomer Radio in the message section, or simply call 416-966-9700 to donate by phone and mention you're a Zoomer Radio listener. The Canada-Ukraine Foundation is a registered charity. Show your support for Zoomer Radio's Ukrainian humanitarian appeal, the people living in Ukraine, as well as Ukrainian refugees across Europe. Their fight for survival has only just begun.
Let me take a moment to tell you about my friends at Halinda's, the meat people. I've been a big, big fan of theirs for years now, and without a doubt, they make some of the best sausage in Ontario. They are multiple award winners, having captured the Ontario's Finest Meat Competition's coveted Award of Excellence on three separate occasions, in addition to dozens of individual product awards. Halinda's has also received the Grand Champion Ribbon at the past two Royal Winter Fair's Ready to Eat Meat Snack Competition. competitions. So whether you're preparing a charcuterie board or a full-blown sit-down dinner for your friends or family, you'll find Halenda's award-winning products at fine meat shops throughout the province, now including selected Metro, Sobeys, Fortino's, and Foodland stores, along with their 7 Halenda's locations. Their barbecued kielbasa, my favorite. Fresh bun, horseradish, it's out of this world. But don't just take my word for it. Judge for yourself. On your barbecue, in your kitchen, or straight from the fridge, Halenda's, the way sausage should taste.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show on Zoomer Radio with Ted Wallison and Jason Laidler. And you can get a hold of Jason during the course of the week. Two ways. You can call toll free at 1-844-667-7628. I'll repeat that. 1-844-667-7628. And Jason will get back to you as soon as possible. You can also fire off an email, info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. Go online, check out avoidprobate.ca, free probate calendar.
And calendar.
Why do I say calendar all the time?
You were on a roll. You were doing so well for the last few weeks.
I know. Anyway, 2 steps forward, 11 back. So you can play with it and find out how much money roughly that you would owe on your mom or your dad's estate. And there's a button that you can press to take you back to previous programs. This being program 52, there are 51 previous programs that you can check out. And the button's there for you.
Mm-hmm, and it's up to date. Hooray.
And it's up to date because Jason spent hours and hours.
I did, because listeners were yelling at me about getting it up to date. Rightly so. My bad. Okay. So clearly there's been a, a POA theme here on the show today, partly because, as we said off the start, if you're just joining us, welcome to the show. It is the Avoid Probate Show. I'm Jason Laidler with Ted Wallison. And we do this every Sunday morning from 8 till 9 on AM 740. Today's episode happens to fall on May 15th, which is National Senior Fraud Awareness Day. So that was the reason for the power of attorney theme. So in keeping with that theme, Ted, this was a call. We're in the mailbag here. This was a call from a listener, a lady who was calling about her mother, on behalf of her and her siblings, about her mother who was in, well, I think her words were end of life stage. The lady was very upset, and I had to give her credit. I always want to give credit to the listeners when credit's due, of course, for calling, because we've said that maybe every week that call us before mom or dad passes away. It's just much easier for us to help you avoid the probate nightmare. In this case, and that's what she did. Mom was still here. Mom was still alive when this lady called, even if it wasn't going to be for much longer. I don't know the details there. But the sad thing was mom does not have capacity. I think if I understood correctly, she's not conscious. I don't know what the word is for that. She's not conscious. That's how ill she is. So she can't approve anything. She can't sign anything. Mm-hmm. And she can't provide consent. That's what I was looking for. She can't provide consent, and she can't sign anything, which would be the same thing, kind of. And they do not have power of attorney. Nobody in the family has power of attorney for mom. So,
you say that, doesn't always have to be, and again, I harken back to when my mom was ill, and the nurse said to us, who has power of attorney? We said, all three of us do. None of us have ever signed anything.
Okay, well, you're talking about health care.
Yeah.
I'm talking about property.
Okay.
Remember? So the lady who called about mom's situation was calling because she wanted to learn how to avoid the probate nightmare that was pending sooner than later.
Okay.
And like I said, respect and kudos to her for thinking about that before mom passed away. If anybody had power of attorney, we may have been able to do something and avoid at least some of the probate nightmare. We can't always avoid 100% of it. It's very rare we can't avoid any of it. It's very rare. And here's a case right here. This is a rare case where I had to say to the lady, I'm sorry, my hands are tied. There's nothing we can do because she doesn't have capacity and there's no power of attorney. So we can't, the bank's not going to transfer anything legally. You could lie, I guess, but we don't obviously endorse that kind of criminal behavior, as we just discussed. It is criminal behavior, POA fraud, or just fraud in general in that sense. So I felt bad. But to her credit, and she understood what I was saying when I said, I'm sorry, we just can't help you avoid the probate, but we can help you deal with it. Because
right.
As I mentioned before, we've got the experts on the team here. If it's too late, in other words, someone's already passed away and you've got a probate problem to deal with, we can help you do that. And she said yes. Even though Mom hasn't passed yet or hadn't on that day, she wanted me to put her in touch with one of the lawyers on the team. I say we've got one of the best estate planning lawyers in the province on the team and one of the best real estate lawyers on the team. And that's important because real estate is often a big part of the estate, mm-hmm. settling the estate. So I'm not, you know, he's not a realtor. He's a real estate lawyer. And when we talk about first dealings matters and we talk about other issues with regard to real estate stuff, this guy is amazing. Okay, other quick letter here, another mailbag item. I'm going to read this email. It says, hello, considering a regular will with no property, no joint accounts, regular bank account, some non-registered GICs, etc. I don't even really know what that means, but that's what it says. Is there a maximum value the estate can have before probate is required? And I'll just finish the note. There's only one more line before I answer. Or what factors other than above, if relevant, are considered before requiring no probate? Thank you, our listener. And obviously, we don't name names here on the show, so don't worry about that. It's all anonymous, and you can be helping other people by asking your question and telling your story. So the first question in this email, it's a short email. That's all of the email. Is there a maximum value the estate can have before probate is required? Okay, let's talk about this for a second. You know, the province says they are not going to levy a probate fee on any estate worth less than $50,000.
Right.
That's the province, not the bank.
Now, that's, again, let me take this back here.
Yes.
And pardon, I don't want to sound like I'm asking the simple questions here because I think they need to be asked. Estate, $50,000.
Yeah.
Not $50,000 sitting in a bank account, in a savings account
at
your local bank. But that could be, you could have $10,000 in a bank account, but have $1.5 million home.
And I don't think that's uncommon.
No, not today. So now probate is staring right at you.
Yes, that's correct.
But if you take that money out of the bank and put it through an insurance company, one of your insurance companies, let them make the investment, that money will not be probated. But your house will.
Unless you've
put it in
asked
a bear
us
trust.
To use a bear trust. And we didn't talk about that this week, except until right now, and we'll leave it at that. You can avoid the probate on the property using a bear trust. People say to me, what? What are you talking about? Never heard of it before. People say to me, Jason, I've had my will done 3 times and the lawyer's never mentioned a bear trust. Okay.
Well, what if you're concerned that that's going to happen, and you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sign over my house to my son right now.
Oh, boy. That's a non-arm's length transaction. There's all kinds of complicated taxation rules. You could result in double taxation for non-arm's length trades. We have talked about it. We should talk about it again because it's a common strategy for some people to say, I'm just going to gift it to my kid. You can gift it to Jason Laidler, no problem. But to gift it to your child, there's a list of relatives that are considered non-arm's length relatives. And because the government caught on to this scheme decades ago, and they're like, no, nice try. We're not going to let you avoid the taxes just by giving it to your kid, because then tax would, assuming that every kid had kids, and I know that's not always the case, but most people, I guess, have kids. And if it just went generation after generation after generation, the government's like, no, nice try. We want our taxes, and just giving it to your kid is not going to cut it anymore. So if you got questions about that, ask your accountant or call us, and we can explain that a little further. So I mentioned the $50,000 is the minimum for the province to tax, but we hear it all the time that the banks will not waive probate on an account worth $40,000. They say, I've heard them say, or I've seen them say on the website, sometimes their max is 30. It's completely discretionary. I've seen probate required by the bank on 12 grand, 15 grand, small sums like that, which is crazy. And it's so insensitive of the bank. I mean, they're, it's a liability issue for them. 12 grand, come on. Anyway, that happens. Other factors, I'm just going to, we're running out of time here. So other factors other than the above, if relevant, are considered before requiring no probate. Well, I mean, the other factor is let us solve the solution, or let us solve the problem for you with our solution of transferring the assets, the non-registered assets for sure, out of the bank and move them to the insurance company, put a beneficiary on it, avoid the probate, and voila. Mr. Walson, I think that's going to wrap it up,
right through it this week.
For week 52.
Any questions that you may come from today's program, fire off a question to us, and then we'll have it answered for you as soon as possible, and we look forward to you joining us again next week.
Yeah, for week 53, which may or may not be our first anniversary.
It is our first.
We'll figure it out. Okay. So thanks to you listeners for joining us today. Hopefully you'll join us again next week. Thanks to Kelly, of course, who got some lovely flowers on this Sunday morning. Thanks to Kelly for all her help behind the glass and for keeping us on the straight and narrow here. Thanks to Ted Walson for decades of radio excellence. And lastly, once again, thanks to you, the listener, for being here. And hopefully you'll be here again next week. We'll do it all over again in the start of year two.
Have a nice week.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.